Max from Wampler Pedals. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
And we're sitting here once again with the man himself, Mr. Brian Wampler.
How's it going?
Cool. Thanks for being here, man. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us. So something I'd like to kind of talk about, I mean, actually quite a few topics. We were talking about this just before we started, and it just kind of came up, is the difference between true bypass and, would you even call it buffered bypass, or would you just say buffers?
I would probably just say buffers in general, but I guess buffered bypass is a fairly accurate term. Yeah. Not always, but for the most part.
But the one thing that I brought up is, I mean, right now that's been like the in vogue thing for years is, you know, are they true bypass? I mean, I'm going to name drop here, but when we went to go see Steve Vai, Dave Wiener is a guitar player for Steve Vai, obviously, and unbelievable player and Wampler artist. But when he came, when we talked to him, Steve Vai came up, and the first thing he asked was like, he called it hard bypass, but we knew what he meant. You know, he's like, these hard bypass? That's the first thing out of his mouth. So, I mean, that tells you, number one, what's important to him. So it's not only like us mere mortals that are obsessed with true bypass. It's, you know.
Master Vai.
Yeah, exactly. But
it also, maybe not in the case of Steve Vai, just because he knows his gear, you know?
Right.
But there's a lot of big name artists that don't really follow the gear stuff. And it might just be something that, you know, their buddy told them, you probably need true bypass stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because they're guitar players. You know, for the most part. They're not out there trying to find a, you know, a different pedal every month.
Exactly.
You know, they just kind of stumble on things. So I don't know. I mean, I know that guys like Pete Cornish have viewpoints. I know that, who is it? It was Way Huge, I guess, that started building some pedals back 1998, or Mike Fuller, or I mean, somebody back then, you know, that was kind of started the whole hand built movement, I guess. They tended to use the mechanical bypass, probably, I'd guess, because it's an easier way to do it.
Really?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's just, if you're doing it by hand, you just wire it to a hard, to a switch. And, you know, that way you don't have to mess with a bunch more JFETs and another type of circuit to connect everything to.
Okay, so you're saying buffered bypass is easier or true bypass?
No, I mean, if you're just building, you know, pedals one by one, probably just wiring it to a switch is probably easier. I mean, the switch is a little more.
And that would be buffer or true bypass?
Well, generally, that would be true bypass.
Okay.
But not always. Like, for the case, some of the old MXR, I think they may have changed this in the recent years, but I know most of the older MXR pedals used a mechanical switch, but they were not true bypass.
Okay. Well, I mean, and for instance, I have a Maxon pedal, you know, and it's not true bypass, right?
Right. It's not.
But is that not considered a mechanical switch?
I forget. Does it click when you, does it like, no, does it feel like it latches when you step on it?
Okay. No.
Then it's probably a momentary switch.
Okay. I haven't hit this. I have it on a looper, so I never hit that switch anymore. I had to stop and think about it.
A lot of those, like buffered bypass circuits, what they're really doing is rather than use like a mechanical switch that's just, which is using actual mechanical throws to change the path from on to off, they'll use like some transistors or JFETs or a certain type of chip that does the switching.
Right.
Using the same idea, basically solid state components to like mute part of the signal and allow other parts of the signal to pass.
Perfect.
But to do that with that, you really have to buffer the signal going into it and buffer it going out of it. So
okay.
Then that's what a lot of people just recall a buffered bypass, because to do it that way, it really needs to be a buffered signal. But there's other pedals that, I mean, could be true bypass, but are buffered by nature. I mean, like, I think, for example, like the Klon, is buffered, right? It's a buffered bypass.
I wouldn't know.
But it's a mechanical switch.
It's all gooped up. I can't tell anything is going on in there.
I think, I'm trying to remember, and I may be way off. I think like the older Voodoo Lab stuff, I don't know if like the Sparkle drives were true bypass. I don't think they were, but they use a mechanical switch. So there's exceptions to the rule.
Right.
I mean, me personally, I even on our board, you know, they're all true bypass pedals, but I always have a buffer on, always.
Right, and that's something I was going to bring up. Like you said, you know, Pete Cornish, he's kind of the father of the whole you don't want true bypass thing. And he makes a great point, and I sit on both sides of it. I totally get it. You know, he's saying that and correct me if I'm wrong, Max, I know you've read this quite a bit because you've done some research and written quite a few blogs and stuff. And by the way, check out Max's blogs on wobblerpedals.com.
I write stuff.
Mm-hmm. You're good with the words.
I'm good with the words sometimes.
But you just don't like to speak them.
Sure.
You're not a fan of enunciation.
No, he's thinking right now. He's like, you guys are the two biggest hillbillies I know, and you're getting on me about my speech.
I ain't not knowing what you all are talking about.
See, you are. You're fighting it, and I'm proud of you. I like paychecks. Okay, but anyways, back to the Pete Quarters thing. He makes a lot of sense. You know, his thing is, you know, you're the math guy here. You know,
I thought I was a word guy.
Yeah, you're the scholar.
You did schoolwork. We didn't.
Yeah, you went to the college.
At least you enunciated that.
And you did stuff in college. I just lived with a bunch of guys out of college. I never went there.
That's a little weird.
No, I mean, it wasn't like I lived with a bunch of guys like that. It's only weird. A bunch of my friends and I party while they went to college. That was stupid not to go to college.
Exactly, right? So. But I think you did all right, you know, so far. But
we'll see.
Basically, let's do easy numbers here. So let's say you got a 15-foot cable, mm-hmm. all right, and then you
going
got
to the pedal board.
Going to the pedal board, mm-hmm. From and then you got, let's say, 5 pedals, 5 feet of cables in between. So that'd be four. You know, well, let's do a foot.
Okay,
you know, easy math. So, and then you got another 15-foot cable coming back. So mm-hmm. what's that? 45, 50 feet.
A bunch of feet.
Okay, right. I would like to think that most people probably have 30 feet. Like the guys, play around town.
If you have, more than likely, you're probably using a 12 or 15 foot cable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have like 2 pedals, you're probably using close to 30 feet right there.
Exactly. You know? So let's just say that's a good round number. Okay, so 30 feet. All right, so you got 30 feet total going from the time you hit a string, from the magnet on the pickup hits anything, before it's even introduced to your amplifier. Mm-hmm. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that causes all kinds of impedance issues to where it's basically a low pass filter, right?
Basically because the impedance is a high impedance.
Mm-hmm. It creates, from a guitar is high impedance.
Yep. Right. It creates a filter, which mm-hmm. is the same basic sort of filter as like the tone control.
Right.
So it's kind of like rolling your tone control on your guitar down a little bit.
Right. And the great thing about true bypass pedals, which people really dig, is that they supposedly have zero effect on your tone when they're off. You know, that's the great thing if you're running one pedal.
That's the marketing thing.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's not completely true.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm, as a consumer, that's what I'm led to believe.
That's what you've been told.
Yeah, what I'm led to believe. So that's all fine and, you know, great. But the problem is once you get that many feet of cable, you know, then you start losing, you have degradation of signal.
Mm-hmm.
So Pete Cornish's thing is, you know, if your pedals are buffered, then that impedance is converted back to high impedance. Is that right?
No, if they're buffered, your high impedance is converted to a low impedance.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha. Yeah.
So basically that filter thing doesn't, in layman's terms, it won't affect the low impedance signal.
Okay.
So if you have a 17, let's say you have a 15-foot cord from your guitar to the buffer,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be high impedance until it hits that buffer. So you still have a little bit of degradation.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, in a perfect world, your buffer would be right inside the guitar.
Right.
But, I mean, that's just not
practical. Figure that out, B-dub. Figure out a way to do it without a battery.
But you can't. I mean, there's people that do it. I mean, active pickups, those are low impedance output.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
then you'd have to play with active pickups.
And then you need a battery.
Then I'd have to try to find, I'd have to have Charles Whitfield, you know, make me a new telly again.
What's wrong with that?
Charles, I need some active pickups.
And by telly, you mean Strat.
No, I mean like a real guitar. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what we said. But all right. So, you know, the Cornish thing's basically saying that if you have buffered pedals, mm-hmm. then the whole loss in signal, and I'm using layperson's terms because mm-hmm. that's what I understand.
Sure.
You know, but that never happens, right?
After the buffer, yes. Yeah, after that first buffer, yes.
Right. But to guys like me, You know
that
what I
does
mean?
That, yeah. But you still whatever you have before that buffer, you're still going to lose a little bit. So
right.
It's not going to be a dramatic. It's not. I mean, if it's a 10 or 15 foot cord, it's going to be slight.
Right.
And we could actually simulate that real quick if you wanted to. But man, you know, we could just do.
Well, I think we actually have a video for.
No, that's right. There's a video on YouTube.
On YouTube, on the Wampler Pedals page. So
that's right. I forgot about doing that.
It's. I mean, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything because that's not what we're doing here. There's a ton of great buffers out there. The one we make, it's called the Decibel, but that's where you would find the video.
Yeah, and I'm sure if someone's going to say, well, which one's better? just grab a buffer. I mean, my personal preference is an op amp based buffer, which is just means that's what type of circuit it is.
There's basically just two ways you can do it, right? I mean,
yeah, it's just basically using a transistor or you're basically using an op amp. You know, I just like using an op amp. There's not like any, this is the quote unquote best way to do it.
Right.
It's just a preference thing.
Yeah.
So,
whatever.
You can find $40 buffers. You could throw a Boss pedal in front of it.
Right.
And it'll work. It's not my favorite type of buffer, but it'll work.
Now, and then there's certain pedals, too, that I found that I guess it's kind of maybe because it's a digital thing, but mm-hmm. Do you know what a Korg G4 is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the Leslie simulator. Mm-hmm. That's all it does. It's not mm-hmm. like a multi-effects. It has like an overdrive in it, but it's basically just the Leslie simulator. Mm-hmm. That thing is one of the best-sounding Leslie sims I've ever heard.
And you said it's digital?
I don't know if it's digital, but
I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know. Things that big, well, huge, but
so a foot and a half wide.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing I noticed, and I was reading on all the forums, they're like, man, you know, it kills your signal. But I went and got one, mm-hmm. and sure enough, that was the first time I ever really noticed a difference.
Really?
You know, because I had a pedal board, and you know, this was when I was kind of just really getting into tone, mm-hmm. and to me, it was one of those things that's like, and then again, I had a Tube Screamer in there, which is a buffer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So maybe, and I always keep it on, so I never really noticed. But as soon as I hit that G4, it would be a huge difference.
Like loss of signal or
when
change
I hit
in
it,
sound?
It would come back. So whenever it was plugged in, man, it was just
tone suck.
Yeah, tone suck. I mean, like all the highs were just gone.
What, and you had a Tube Screamer before or after that?
I don't remember.
So if you had it before it, then I would say, ooh, there's something funky going on there.
But
if you had it after it, I would say, okay, well, I can see that. You're running a high impedance signal into
right.
it. So.
But the thing is I took it to a guy around town, a guy named Kevin Silva, works at it's Uncle Albert's Amplifiers, does repairs and mods and builds his own amps and just great work.
The amp guru in Indianapolis, yeah.
Yeah, the guy, you know. So, and I just said, hey, man, this is what's going on. And, you know, he was like, well, and Kevin's so cool, man, because he's like, well, do you not like it? Because his thing is he'll get people say, I just got this and it needs modded.
Right.
He'll say, how do you know? You just got it. Play
right.
it for a while, dude. Mm-hmm. But so I told him what was going on. He was like, yeah, I'll throw a true bypass switch in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the magical thing. Like I plugged it in.
A switch.
Yeah, there you go, Max. It was like.
Clicking a switch.
But
here's a treat, Max.
But so, you know, that was the first time I ever really noticed, you know, true bypass actually mm-hmm. does something. True bypass works. It is, mm-hmm. maybe it is everything it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't know Pete personally, but from reading, he's got a page, of course, on the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's on computers now.
That means
information highway.
Information superhighway.
Yeah.
you probably remember the change from highway to superhighway.
I actually do. I was there for
it's probably just a gravel road before that.
For those of you who don't know, Max is quite a bit younger than myself, and I'm quite a bit younger than Brian.
Thanks.
Brian's the old guy.
Yeah, he's a resident old dude. Actually, no, you're not even the oldest guy that works here.
Nope.
But for more information on buffers, check out a great blog article called Buffers Unbaffled on the Wampler website.
Buffers Unbaffled. What was the one? Yeah. Max comes up with the clever titles for his blogs. One of them was The Good and Bad of SAG. I thought that was pretty good.
SAG is a drag.
SAG is a drag. Yeah, you had one that was cheesy that I kind of suggested you don't go with. I don't remember what it was.
I've had a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Everybody goes, no.
They're knee slappers, dude.
I tell my newspaper buddies, and they're like, oh, that's clever. you guys don't know. You guys aren't college. You know nothing about no college.
Well, obviously, you know a lot about newspapers based off that hat you're wearing.
Probably.
That is a newsboy hat.
Dude. Newsboy hat.
That is
yeah.
a newsboy hat.
Isn't that what they call them or something like yeah. that? Newsboy hat? Boom. See?
Brian thinks it's weird because it doesn't have a bill or one of those little buttons on top.
Or the propellers.
So but, anyways, Pete Cornish. I think from reading his article, I believe, if I recall, that he likes like multiple buffers. He likes every pedal to be buffers.
Okay.
I don't know if that's accurate.
I can't remember, to be honest.
It seems like, in a, I don't... I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that's...
I know that is a popular school of thought, though.
Yeah, and I don't take that either. I mean, I think you lose degradation with that as well. And it really depends on the type of circuitry with each pedal. Now, maybe with if you have all Pete's pedals, mm-hmm. then maybe not. But let's say you have some inexpensive pedals that have an inferior bypass that is technically buffered, but not a very good way of doing it. Then, like, for example, there's some of those that you can lose. You'll basically lose maybe a percent, maybe half a percent of your signal.
Gotcha.
So add in 15 of those.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you actually get more signal degradation as well.
Right.
And so in that situation, for that guy, I'd be like, dude, just throw a booster at the end, man. Boost your signal back up.
Right.
You know, if you're happy with what you got, you don't have to have someone modify each pedal if right. you don't want to. Just throw a booster at the end, get some signal back.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, like my personal preference would be just one buffer at as close to the guitar as possible.
And then everything else true bypass?
Everything else true bypass.
Okay.
But my personal opinion.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. And it was kind of cool to hear you actually, you know, actually admit it that, you know, that's the marketing thing. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
And the thing is, you know, putting you back into the seat of being the builder and, you know, the owner of a company, right. you have to give the people what they want.
You do. And it's things are changing now a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you'll see that some of our pedals are coming out. We're doing, it's still true bypass. We're just using relays.
Right.
Whereas, you know, I was first starting out 4 or 5 years ago. You don't want to use relays and you don't want to use surface mount stuff because
right.
it's not cool. And it's not hand-built then.
Right.
And then slowly, like, people start hand-building with surface mount and relays. And so it became acceptable.
Well, because they noticed the stuff that wasn't surface mount was breaking.
Well, or you know,
fail point there.
I think at the time, you know, when like, all of us builders, like, started, like, actually making pedals to sell in, like, 2005 or whatever.
Right.
I think at the time, there was just no one was really doing surface mount. And the people that were, it was like a digital pedal.
Right.
You know, so to the layman, open up a pedal, you're like, oh, surface mount. That means surface mount's like the real small parts mm-hmm. compared to the bigger parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, it must be digital because it's got the little parts on it, well, which is not true.
Right.
It's just a smaller way of doing it.
Right.
And unfortunately, like from our perspective, we're actually running out of surface mount parts. Some parts just, the companies quit selling them.
Right.
And so you can't buy like, a certain type of Panasonic capacitor anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to go to a different brand or you have to go to the surface mount version.
Well, let me ask you, does that ever, this is kind of off subject, but sure. it's a question I have. Just component in general, let's say Panasonic makes, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what really changes tone. Let's say a JFET. Okay.
Okay.
Let's say they make one and they stop making it and then somebody else makes another one. Mm-hmm. Number one, would that change the tone? And number two, if it did, would you have to change a circuit?
Sometimes. If we're talking JFETs, mm-hmm. different brands can sound a little different. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever encountered that to where you had to alter the circuit or another component to allow for it?
I'm trying to think. I try not to. I mean, I know there's been times in the past where we've had to substitute. I don't think we've ever, like, we use Fairchild
okay.
JFETs. I don't think we ever really like went to a different brand because we couldn't get any more Fairchilds.
Gotcha.
I know that there's some of them that we have little surface mount JFETs mm-hmm. that are on this little circuit board.
Okay.
That then has pins that are coming from that little circuit board down to the holes of a regular JFET. And that's just so we could stay with the exact same ones.
Yeah, that's cool.
And this is after, keep in mind, we were doing tests for like 2 years. all this stuff. So, I mean, after all these tests, what I found out was those little Surface Mount JFETs actually are way better.
Are they?
They sound better, and they're way more, like, the tolerances are way, way tighter.
Way tighter? Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the past, with, like, the through-hole, and we still have some through-holes left, we throw away a ton of them because it just falls outside of spec, or they're too noisy, or, I mean, we have certain resistors that keep them biased and, you know, allow for gain and EQ and all that stuff. And if we can't use those same resistors, I don't like to use trim pots much. So if I can't use those same resistors, it's an unusable JFET to me.
Right.
You know, so we
sell them on eBay.
Well,
I'm joking.
I'm sure you could, but I would hate to. I guess there's nothing really wrong with them. It's just for the circuit that we're doing. It's just it changes the sound too much to start fiddling with bias resistors, and you start changing gain and EQ stuff. And then when what happens, what actually does happen is a guy says, well, I've got a Pinnacle from 4 years ago, and I bought a brand new Pinnacle. They sound nothing. You know, you don't want that.
Right.
At all.
And the reason I make that joke is what I've heard from other builders is you can go online on eBay and buy, like, some, you know, old germanium transistors.
Yeah. All the stuff that people were throwing away.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, you know, this is the real deal. It's new old stock.
Yeah.
Well, most of the reason it's new old stock is because somebody tried it and they didn't dig it.
It's new old stock because they fell out of tolerance.
Exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
But
so,
but that's also why, I mean, sometimes you'll see builders where, you know, they're in this old electronic shop and they went into this little store and they found these old germaniums and they're like, yes, it's score. Uh-huh. It actually is a cool thing because if you can find the good ones, man, they're worth money. You know, I mean, they really are. I mean, you can sell them for a good amount of money if they're good transistors. And not only that, they actually make really good fuzz pedals, you know?
Yeah.
So rather than have to use, you know, old, terrible germanium transistors and try to modify the circuit around it, you can actually get a really good sounding fuzz face, for example.
You know, I know you guys are gear nerds.
Well, what I was going to tell you, I was going to say, dude, so back in the day, there used to be these TVs that were deep. And they actually had tubes and things in them.
Turn them off and go,
yeah. And then you had to hand crank them back on. But
that's when the Flintstones were like, that was a reality TV show, right?
It was a silly thing. My daughter last weekend, actually, I don't even know why we're talking about, but she said, Dad, Daddy, did the world used to be black and white when you were a kid?
See, that's a burn I used to use on old people when I was younger. I'd be like, man, you're so old. I bet you the world was black and white when you were a kid. That's so funny. That's awesome. You've never heard that one?
No, but be prepared for me to use that in like 2 years. I'm going to sit on that joke and wait for the right opportunity.
Yeah. But no, because I've heard that, like, people will go into, like, you know, a lot of these TV repair places have gone out of business because the technology that they've been rendered useless. You know, I hate saying it. I don't mean it. It's just the truth.
No,
but I guess a lot of people will go into these places and buy their stock just in hopes of finding the right components for guitar pedals or guitar amps, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like if you see estate sales and it's like, well, this guy repaired TVs in his spare time, you're like, yes!
I would go this. No, you would be like, yes.
Oh, I would.
Not
me. I'd get a raging Woody over that one for sure, man.
You know how I know you're old? You said raging Woody. Term probably has been used in 73.
I'm sorry.
Wilt Chamberlain had a raging Woody. TV repair
man. Well, you're right.
I'm surprised you know who Wilt Chamberlain is.
I was the only old guy I knew that you guys could relate to. I think it was last week.
I've got underwear older than you. It's
before
funny.
We went to a Gear Fest. We were talking about running through the airport, and I said, you guys probably had to like OJ it. They start cracking up. My dad told me that term. So I can identify with you guys. It's like when you guys try to say a word or hashtags. That's cool.
I've only posted one hashtag in my life. That's it. Just one.
What about Instagram?
Huh?
Oh, you had an Instagram.
No,
sure.
I got an Instagram, but I don't hashtag nothing.
Well, for the company account or for you?
Well, for the company account. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm
on your personal account?
Yeah, my personal account. The only time I ever hashtagged anything, it just simply said, I have a hard time reading hashtags.
Hashtag, I don't think you know what that means.
Yeah. Oh, man. So we got way off track. But, you know, and I guess where that started was...
So, buffers.
Yeah, buffers. No, but I think where that all started was, you know, do other components and different brands make so much a difference where you have to alter a circuit. And,
right.
you know, maybe, but you haven't had to encounter it, which is a good thing. You know?
Not yet. Yeah, I would go as far away from that as I could because I want a pedal that I made 5 years ago to sound, if you buy it tomorrow and you have both those pedals next to each other, I want them to sound exactly like.
Right.
So that's why, like, we have a standard for each pedal mm-hmm. we do, that everything is measured against that standard pedal.
One thing I would like to interject, and if anybody listening to this has ever had two pedals of any brand and put them together and said something like, well, when I set the controls exactly the same, they don't sound exactly the same.
That's normal for
exactly
for
because, well, especially because, and the thing I want to kind of let people know is, like, that's completely normal. You know, you may have to turn your gain to 11 o'clock. You know, where you used to have it on 10 right. because there's normally is it 20%?
Well, there's like a 20% tolerance.
Yeah, 20% tolerance.
Yeah. So, but your minimum and your maximum will be the same.
Yeah, you exactly. Yeah.
So it's for example, unity volume on your one tube scraper might be at 1 o'clock. On the other one, on another one might be 2 o'clock. On another one might be 12 o'clock.
Yeah. Because I get that question a lot. I'll get, you know.
Yeah, maximum volume would be the same output.
Yeah.
Minimum volume would be the same. Of course, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, that's all the fun of using analog pots. So if you don't like that, then you probably want to start using digital stuff.
Right. The only reason I say that is the guy that gets all the emails that come straight into, you know, help at Wampler mm-hmm. Pedals. I get that a lot. I'll say, hey, I was trying out my buddy's pedal, and, you know, it's like when I had the settings set the same, it didn't sound. So I'll say, well, were you able to get the same tones?
And right.
Like, well, yeah, but I had to move my knobs different.
Yeah.
So my thing is just putting that out there.
Yeah. That's the beauty of analog.
Laying it down, seeing how it comes back, you know.
Play with your stuff first.
Dude, what? Did you say play with your stuff first?
We're not talking about your Asian wood. We're talking about the pedals here.
You started making me nervous.
That was great timing, Max. Great. Yeah, that's perfect.
I won't mention erections.
See, now it just got dirty. Now we're going to have to change the rating of this show. And now iTunes isn't going to accept the upload.
Flag us for raging woodies.
Hey, we're talking about cars.
Yes.
Wait, cars are made of wood?
I don't want to hear about iTunes or anything flagging anything. It's terrible whenever we try to put out a video.
With your song.
Max wrote it. Max wrote
you
the song.
You played it and recorded it.
I played it and recorded
it. Flagged for a violation.
Yeah, it was flagged for a violation.
That's great.
Yeah,
I don't see anything wrong with that system at all.
Well, you want to know why? Because a record label gave me thousands of dollars to record it. See what I mean? So the record label flags it and says, hey, well, we're not getting any of our $1,000 back for that.
Well, that's good. If I was that record label, I probably wouldn't want that song to get heard by thousands of people either.
See, I'm not going to dog them, though, because they're super nice dudes.
Well, they might be nice dudes, but
it's just business.
I bet you that in 10 years, they won't exist anymore.
Unless
they change. Unless they change their point
of view. These guys are pretty hip, and the main thing is like, the cool thing about this label is they genuinely do care about the artist. Like, for instance, when I decided to, you know, kind of hang up touring and recording a little bit, mm-hmm. I simply just called the dude. He was like, you know what, man? If you ever want to get back into it, call me.
Well, I hope that's true.
Yeah, so it was cool. But
I guess where I'm coming from is I think that record companies ruin music from the get-go with trying to sell, these three chords sell best to this demographic? Well, then we need to have people write songs with this arrangement.
Could you imagine two things? Number one, paying $18.99 for a CD. You remember those days?
Yes.
You remember that? You probably don't, do you? I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but do you remember CDs costing $19 and $20?
$14, $15.
That was common.
Was the thing, and they came in this huge box, you know. But they used to cost, I think it was, is it Barnes & Noble? I think they're actually out of business now. Or is it
I remember in Indiana, Borders. There used to be a place called Karma Records.
Yeah.
Karma.
Used to be.
Yeah.
Used to be.
But they sold, they sold like bongs and stuff too, I think. Smoke stuff.
Yeah, easy. Water pipes. Water pipes.
Well, sorry.
You don't say the B word.
That's right.
You always sit down there.
Sorry.
The counter.
But no, you're right, man. That's a whole...
That was like the best record shop ever to go in because they had shirts and they had like merchandise and
water pipes,
stuff from people who like you couldn't buy that at Kmart.
Yeah,
whatever,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
But so that's one thing. The $18.99 Kmart. Okay, Walmart.
Which
is that
was
more
the
hip?
Store that we went to back in 1989?
It was called Kresge Mart. That's where we went.
But that and another thing. This is one that I still get when I go to some places, and I feel bad for thinking this, but they'll say, "Oh, we don't have that," but we could order it for you.
Right.
It's like, fool, I can order it myself and not have to pay the destination fee. Yeah, and it'll get to my house quicker.
I've got a phone. I can order it faster than you can, probably.
Phone? I got the internet, old man.
That's what I mean. I've got a phone with the internet inside of it.
Okay, I got you.
It's inside the phone. Yeah. My internet is inside of it.
Yeah, I can call my internet. Wait a minute. What?
So I get in the internet and I dial stuff and it comes to my house.
Yeah, instantly.
It's just great.
So I guess kind of wrapping things up, sure. You know, and I know we got way off subject, but let's face it, man. It's not like
you put three musicians in a room with a microphone.
Yeah.
You're going to get off subject.
And apply beer.
I was about to say, and there's a couple cans of beer floating around here. True story. But
that's just part of it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that kind of wraps up a lot of stuff. And because I even told you guys when we started this podcast, I was like, this is going to be cool because I know nothing about this. Max, you do. I mean, from experience and you know, also all the research you've done from the blogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And obviously, Brian, you know, you've been doing this since what?
Since Max was a kid.
2000, since aught one.
1996.
Since the bubble burst, right after the bubble burst in 2000.
Right after the big crash of 4 or 5.
But no, it really helped me out. And that's why, you know, I'll be honest, these basic questions I've asked, most of them are because I really don't know. Sometimes it's because I want you to go more into depth. But a lot of the stuff is just because I don't know. So it's been a good experience for me, man. Hopefully you guys listening learn something from it. If you have any questions or any type of, you know, comments or anything you want to share with us or anything you want to ask us, just shoot us an email at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. We'll try to get those answered as quickly as we can and get back to you. And if we don't, you know, talk about them on air, or if you have any topics you want to hear about, so just shoot us an email. So you guys, thanks for listening. That's Max.
Max.
Thanks again, Brian, man.
Sure, man.
All right, cool. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time. You got your finger on the trigger.